Hey, those who are joining us online, we're so grateful you're part of our community of faith. I have something I want to say to you in just a second, but the first thing, this past week, a lot of our students were part of some big stuff. And today, I think I'm going to talk about some big stuff. So from now on, when I say big stuff, just clearly all of them are sitting in this direction and nobody is sitting over there. So guys, we are so glad you're back. I loved hearing about the testimonies. I just love the energy that you're bringing. Let's just, what you experienced this past week, let's just bring it here today. How's that sound? For those joining us online every week, we're so glad you're with us. I will tell you, today's the first time I've said this since COVID started. If you are worshiping with us at home, it is a lot different at home than it is here. And if you are one of those people, medically speaking, safety reasons, I encourage you to stay at home, be safe. But if you've fallen into the habit of just tuning in on Sunday mornings, I will tell you there is something that you're missing, especially during the worship time, by not being with us live. And so I want to encourage you to break the habit of only watching us online. But if you're just now checking us out, you're trying to figure out kind of this whole God thing, however you watch us or join in with us, we are grateful. And for everybody, don't forget, download our app. You can get through the sermon notes. I will say today, we have a handful of scriptures that we're going to be using, as well as there's some kind of like parallels that we did, some that you may want to get your hands on. Today, we're going to start a conversation called The Right Side Living. And this is a sermon 2 years in the making for me, because this is a discipline that I've applied to my life. And I just was never in the place, never in the season. It wasn't right to bring it to the church yet, but I feel like we're there now. So today, I need a little bit of freedom. Number one, I don't feel like being funny today. Now, I'm sure at some point I'll say something wrong and you guys will laugh at me, and I'm okay with that. Also, usually I love to try to get scriptures to you at the beginning and start breaking down the word. But here's how I need you to view this conversation. I have a two-hour sermon that I'd like to bring your way, but according to the other staff members, I'm not allowed to do it in one sitting. So they've asked me to break it up over the next 3 weeks. So over the next 3 weeks, I have one sermon for you. So view today's sermon as the opening, and the opening thought of how I got this revelation in my life, living the way that I am now, but also a discipline that you may want to implement in your own life. And it's the intentional character-building technique of living on the right side of the page. I know you don't get it, but don't worry. I have 2 hours to explain it to you. And if you just now started listening to me, not right now, not all right now, it'll be over the next couple weeks. And so the first kind of question I have for you is, do you think we have naturally disposition positions that we take versus an intended design that we were created for? Like, is there natural things that as humanity we default to that aren't what an intended design that we were made? Let me try to explain it this way. Do you think that it is right for someone just to kill someone else in cold blood? No. Okay, so if all of us can agree that this is not just right, then there may be an intended design that we were meant for, and it's not to kill our fellow brothers and sisters. But yet, somehow, there are people around the nation that do that, and they fall back into this natural position that maybe they were born to or they grew up in and started living with. Do you think it is right for someone to just break in your house and steal your stuff because they like your stuff better than their stuff? How many would raise their hand and say yes? And please raise your hand, because all of us need to know you, because we don't want to invite you to our house at this point in time. So if all of us can kind of agree that, no, it's not right just to break in and steal something from someone, there may be on the inside of us like this design that we all should know, but the problem is there are times that we take what isn't ours because this natural bent, this brokenness that a part of this world that we're in. So those are two big ones. Let's try to break it down real small. It's something that all of us may do. Do you think it's right for someone just to say a bold-faced lie to your face? Just lie. You say yes, I'm saying no, but we both know the answer is yes. Okay, so just so you know, I think this becomes natural even to our youngest children, and I know this is going to blow you away right now, My baby Mariah, my princess, can do no wrong. We've caught her lying already. And usually it involves candy and or popsicles, just so you know. Like, we've been able to isolate what the issue is, and it's the sugar gene that every Amston has, and hers is already developing inside of her. But it's amazing, because when we catch her, there's a pause that happens in her, because naturally she went to lie to get this thing, but when called out, something internal, could we call this maybe her conscience? Maybe this conscious, or maybe, what would you say it like this? An unspoken law that's written in the DNA of who she is, of, I know I said this, but I did that, and something inside of me feels dark. So I believe that we are created with an intended design, an intended designer that created us one way, but we are broken and we do it the wrong way. And in our brokenness, this is when we break things. But now we have to ask the question, okay, God, how do we get your intended design in our life versus this natural bent that we always go to? And it's real simple. Jesus told us. He told us even how to pray it. And I know you guys are going to know this, and I'm going to even have you do this good old-fashioned thing with me. Ready? Say this prayer with me. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And you're like, oh, I don't know it. Watch this. Ta-da. You do now. Right? Say this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, okay, let's start over, because clearly I'm not on the worship team for a reason. That rhythm was way off. Okay, let's just say this together. It's not up there. Ready for this? The Lord's Prayer is about to show up on the screen behind me. Ready for this? The Lord's Prayer is going to show up on the screen behind me. For those online, Google it yourself. Okay, here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All we have to do, ready for this? This is so easy, this is so simple. All we have to do, according to Jesus, is take the heavenly design that's in the eternal realm and put it in our life. Lord, we thank you for today's sermon. Like, that's all you have to do. You just have to figure it out on your own. But so all we have to do is reach into an eternal realm from our heavenly Father, take his exact patterns, and put it in our life. And so I started reading the Bible. How do we do this? Well, step number one, his streets are apparently paved in gold. So we need to stop using asphalt, stop using concrete, and we need to start paving stuff in gold. So that's one way to do it. Up in heaven, earth, heavenly pattern, there is no sadness and tears. So if you could also stop being sad and crying, that could help. Like, as I start rattling off some of these things, they're an absolutely impossible task that we could possibly ever accomplish on our own. And then that's where I'm going to introduce this new thought for you. It may freak you out, but don't worry, we'll figure it out. All you have to do in order for you on a daily basis to bring heaven into earth is to start living with your sixth sense in a fourth dimension. Got it? That's right. I feel like you need me to explain that one to you too. Everyone on the same page. So in order for me to explain this one to you, this is easy for me to say to you because of a journey that I went through. And I want to share part of my personal story with you. And the reason is to share my personal story is I don't think you're going to understand the value that the sixth sense and the fourth dimension, right side versus left side, hold. If you don't understand, if you don't understand the process of getting it. My relationship with my wife means more because of the process of getting it. The relationship, I have four wonderful children, but some of you couldn't have children, and you went through a process to get them, to adopt them. And so unless you understand the process, so if you're a guest with us today, if you're watching us for the first time and you are coming to a church full of perfect people, I'm about to destroy that for you. But if you are interested in a church that wants to be real, to have honest conversations, because we all, as we said in worship today, have a battle before us. We welcome your struggles. We welcome your battles. And you will find brothers and sisters that will walk through it with you. I was going to leave this generic. I was going to say some time ago, but truth be told, it was a little less than 2 years ago. I was struggling with alcohol in a pretty big way. And it was one of those things that everyone talking to me saying, why don't you just stop? And I couldn't answer. Sat through some meetings where people would say, how would you counsel someone else? And I got to the point where I said, I have no idea, because I know what I would say to them, but if you would say that to me, it doesn't make sense. And it got to the point where, and if you were part of our community years ago, you know that there was just a Sunday I wasn't here, because there was a Saturday that my, apologize. Thought I was ready for this. So there was a Saturday, my wife and my brother showed up to the bedroom. I was still waking up, coming out of drinking the night before, even though I shouldn't have been. And they said, hey, you're going to rehab today. And we had this great plan in place, because I was still in control of that plan. Now that plan is gone. And I had all these reasons why I wasn't going to. Long and short, they won, I did not. And so I go to rehab, and I check into this building, and I can tell you now, shame and embarrassment. I thought I lost all you guys. I can't imagine anyone wanting anything to do with me. And I go into this place. It's dirty. There's mice. Everybody in there is a junkie except for me. In my first week there, two different nights, I had people in my same room that were coming off methamphetamines all night long, and it was just the most miserable sound. It was day two or three, so my wife took my wallet from me, so I didn't have my credit card, didn't have my license, but on day two or three, I realized the Uber app on my phone was still active. So I figured out how I could leave and get to the airport. And I had a place that I was planning on flying to, and then I realized I didn't have my license. And so I'm like trying to figure out, how do I literally run from this thing that I'm in? I had one friend say, man, if you would have called me, I would have come and got you. And I was like, would you really? And he thought for a second. He's like, no, because then I would have had to face your wife. So if you need a sermon on the fear of the Lord, my wife will preach that one. Oh, love you for that. So I'm in this place that I don't want to be in, going to these AA meetings. And by the way, this is just me. I'm going to these AA meetings, and one of the things that I'm doing in there, and they were just miserable. They were horrible. They were so depressing. It was people just trying to live for the next day. And I just didn't want to, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. I'm going to make it tomorrow. I'm going to make it this next hour. And I'm like, how depressing. And you're 20 years sober and you still have to do this. Like, and get my, what a loser. Like, get a better life. Find something bigger to live for. And so it was judgmental. This is all like really negative, right? Judgmental. I'm angry. I'm ashamed. There was one night. So I'm sitting with a counselor. I was assigned one counselor. And he's saying, listen, you have to admit that you're an alcoholic. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't call myself an alcoholic. And this is a problem, because I actually believe what the Bible says. And how can I call myself an alcoholic when the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror? How can I label myself with this thing when I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail? Like, I should be able to go into this battle and win it. And I know this may sound weird to you if you don't believe in the Bible and the whole Jesus thing, but for me, this is my manuscript for life. Like, I'm betting my eternity on this thing, right? And this thing says the confessions of my mouth really matter. So if I had cancer, this sickness inside of me, would I walk around and say, hi, I'm David, I'm cancer? Like, no, I wouldn't say that. Why would I say this about alcohol? And they're like, listen, you have to get to the place where you admit that you have a problem. And I'm like, I don't. I just need to solve this issue so I can move on with life. And I was sitting in one of the meetings, and they were talking about things that junkies do. And one of the guys said, yeah, you guys probably stop taking care of yourself, stop showering, stop brushing your teeth, that kind of thing. And one kid spoke up and he goes, not me. I had to shower 6-7 times a day in really hot water. It was the only way I could get my veins to show up so I could shoot myself up again. And I'm like, what did my wife do to me? How could my brother let this happen? How can my friends? This is their problem, not mine. And in that same meeting, a guy pulls out a piece of paper. He goes, hey, when you guys came in, we were asking you a list of questions. They're not random. There's 12 specific questions we always try to cover. And they help rank you as far as the level of your sickness. Let's go through them one at a time. Question number one, have you ever done this? Have you ever hidden alcohol but then forgot where you hid it the next day because of drinking too much the night before? And it's like, okay, maybe I did that once, no big deal. And I'm hearing everyone else's stories. I'm like, man, those sound like mine. And we went through the list of 12, and with all those junkies around the room, I went 12 for 12 with them. And that's when I had to go, oh no, I'm a junkie. All you have to do, the step, is admit that you're an alcoholic. I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. I can't label. And I know this may sound just so weird to you, but spiritually speaking, I couldn't label myself with that. So this afternoon, just a couple days in, you could pick which class you were going to go to. And I decided to go to this one called The Simple Plan. And the title really spoke to me because I'm a simple man. And so so I walk into this, and there's two people, a gentleman by the name of Ken and another guy. And I said, oh, I apologize, I thought there was a class. And he's like, no, I usually have smaller classes, stay. And so I decided I'd stay. And then the other guy left. And this is no longer a class, this is a tutoring. Like it moved, the definition shifted. And so I sit down and Ken sits directly across from me. And he said, well, let's start going through the program. And it was AA. I mean, that's what it felt like. It's, you know, step number one, you have to admit that you were powerless. And that's easy. I'm powerless. I get it. But then we had to get to some key things that I had to say over my life. And I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. And he could tell I was getting angry about something. He said, let me ask you this. Are you allergic to poison ivy? And I said, I am. He goes, do you run out and roll around in it? I go, I don't. He goes, why? I go, I'll have an allergic reaction. He goes, are you mad that you are allergic to poison ivy? No, I'm not mad that I'm allergic to poison ivy. I can't control it. He said, you are allergic to alcohol. And anytime you roll around in it, you're going to have an allergic reaction. Specifically, I want to drink and not stop, go to blackout if possible. The side effects is a destroyed family, destroyed relationships, destroying the father that I should be with my kids, and ultimately throwing away the profession that I love. And he said, why are you mad at something you have an allergy towards? You have to realize that when it comes to alcohol, you're using a depressant drug with diminishing returns. It's chronic and fatalistic in its very nature, and you can't use a depressant drug when you're down thinking you'll go up. He goes, all you have to do is realize that we need to start working on your sixth sense for your fourth dimension. So and I went, that's me. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm someone who suffers from a disease known as alcoholism. And it's when I put a chemical in my body, there's an allergic reaction that I can't control. But what makes me want to go to that left side to want to drink versus living on this right side that makes me want to live? And he said, listen, the sixth sense and the fourth dimension, what if we view, and by the way, the reason this simple plan came about is, believe AA started out this way of being something that worked on your character, and it's just morphed over time. So he went back to the original intent of what AA was, and he said, what if you have your smell, you have your taste, you have all these five senses we're used to. What if we looked at your character as a sense that we need to on purpose work on? And he goes, and by the way, I'm about to say something, and if you're a real theological person, you're thinking I'm going to change the definition of heaven and hell right now, and I'm not. Okay? This isn't ultimate reconciliation. This isn't anything like that. But he said, think about this. What if the only thing that we can actually take with us to eternity is our character? And think about when you were at your worst. Think about you that struggle with anger, hatred, bitterness, whatever that might be. And what if that's the thing you took to eternity with you and you're left to yourself for 1,000 years for that one character to develop? And out of my mouth, I said, that sounds like hell. He goes, but what if you took the best of your character? Love, joy, peace. What if that's what you could take with you to eternity? And what does that look like 1,000 years from now? And I said, that sounds heavenly. He goes, so in the fourth dimension, in the place that we can't see, what if we're focusing on the only thing we may take with us, and that's the character? And I went, you know, I can admit that this is the character that I don't want to have. And that's when, at that point, we started breaking down kind of this left side versus right side characteristics, or can I say this, intended design that we had or have versus the natural position that sometimes we default to. So the intended design that we have, this may sound like I'm making this up and where does this come from? Well, if you look in Genesis 1:27, it says this, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them, both male and female. It didn't say that he created them off something random that he had. It said that he looked at himself and said, I have a design that I want to put in humans, and so I'm going to create them intentionally off of what I am. And so here's the way we say it. There is an intended design according to Genesis 1:27, or the way that I want to start saying it to you, the right side of living. But then what Romans tells us is, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death also, because of sin, through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So because of Adam and Eve's decision, way back in Genesis, first two humans, because they sinned, they walked away from their intended design, and now they have this natural design that is birthed and given to all of us through sin. And at the youngest of age, a baby girl, because she wants a popsicle, knows how to naturally lie. It didn't have, I promise you this, her mama's not that. Her daddy's not that. There's no time that we sat around the kitchen table and said, if there's something that you really want in life, the best way to do it quickly and efficiently is to lie to get your way. We've never had that conversation. Any parents, have you had that conversation? And I just want to see your hands so that you're not with our nav kids. Like, this is really important for us to know here. There is this natural position, or can we say this? There's wrong characteristics or the left side of the page that we fall to. And when I say page, you need to know this. Next week when you come in, there will be a handout on every single chair of the left side versus right side characteristics that I'm specifically referring to. I didn't want to do it today because I know what happens when you get paper, you look at the paper versus listening to me, but I didn't want you to look at the paper you had no idea about, because on that paper, when you see the sixth sense in the fourth dimension, you're going to go, this is a cult. It's not. But if it was, what would we tell you? It's not. It's not. I promise you that. What it is trying to live on the character or the intended design that God has for us. And after I received this revelation, after I understood the only time that I have a desire to drink, only time I have a desire to do wrong, any time I have a desire to use, it's because I'm living in my left side characters. And somehow in this negative characters, I want to use non-positive things. It's funny, we call it an addiction, but it doesn't add anything to your life. It should be a subdiction that we all have. But anytime I was living on my left side, I thought if I added this to my life, somehow I'd feel better and be to my right. No. I have to intentionally walk through a doorway. What is the doorway? Well, the doorway is a double hinge. And the way to move to your right side is through gratitude. The way to move to your left side is resentment. Remember how I told you I needed a couple hours to have this conversation with you? In the second half, we're going to talk about the doorway of resentment that leads to your left side thinking. But in the third, in the final of this kind of series that we're doing, we're going to talk about how gratitude is the doorway that leads you towards your right side heavenly characteristics. And right now, you're like sitting there going, right side, left side, doesn't even sound biblical to me. And I say I disagree with you. How many have ever heard of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? You've probably even read it before. Ready for this? Love is patient. You know this. If those watching online, it's on the app. You can watch it on the screen. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Right there you go, no, this just told us about love. And I would say this, no, I believe it showed us the left side versus the right side thinking of love. So let's just lay this scripture out a little bit different on the left side and right side. Start with me on the right side first. It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. But you remember the next verse, it does not. Or could we maybe throw that on the left side? If I were to say this to you, love used incorrectly is envious. Have you ever met someone or been interacting with someone who's envious and you thought, wow, they came across very loving? Have you ever met someone, can you go back one slide for me down here, thanks. Have you ever met someone that always boasted about who they were, what they accomplished, and thought, man, that is a loving person to others? No, the only person they love is themselves. Do me one more favor. I need you to go back one more time. I don't have all these notes on here. I need them on my cheat sheet, I guess is what we would call this thing. Prompter. We'll go with that. It's actually called a confidence monitor. The funny thing is, I have no confidence right now. So have you ever met someone who's prideful that comes across loving? So how can you be loving if the characteristics that you have is to dishonor other people? And so we can take this Corinthians chapter, these couple verses, break them up just a little bit and say this. Corinthians 13 tells us what love isn't and what love is. What the left side of love is versus the right side of love. Is there anybody that would look at the left side characteristics of love delights in you being evil? Looks at it as, here's what's loving. I'm going to keep all the times in our marriage that you did wrong for me, so the next time we get in a fight, I can bring each one of them out and remind you how horrible you are. Do you think that relationship gets better with that, or when you look to the right side and says, it trusts, it hopes? And so the characteristics that we're wanting on your life is like, because we're doing the root work, to move to the right-hand side, the fruit of our life is better. The fruit of our life. What do you mean? Like the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, Galatians, great point. Glad you brought it up. What if we said this in Galatians? Galatians 5, the right side of living. And you guys know these. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. How many would say, I would like those characteristics in my life? How many would say this? I would like those characteristics in the friends that I hang around with all the time. Do you know Galatians, in the same chapter, not only gives us the fruits of the Spirit, but I believe they give us the left side of the left side of living, things such as sexual immorality. How can you really be in an intended design that God has for you if all you do is run around and sleep with anybody who says yes, watching porn all day long, and are a pervert nonstop? Does that sound like healthy characteristics that in this sixth sense of your fourth dimension you would want to carry into eternity with you? When you show up to whoever it is, Peter at the pearly gates, that's how most jokes start. Like, you show up there with your bag of characteristics and go, just so you know, when it comes to impurity and debauchery, I worked well and hard on all of this. Is that the thing that you want to carry with you? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Is there anybody in here that would look at that left side of the Galatians right side versus left side and say, these are the characteristics I would like to carry into eternity with me? See, I actually believe this left side versus right side thinking is very biblical. And the concept that what is the only thing in this world that you intentionally can work on in order to bring heaven into earth. As much as you want to manage your household and manage your children and manage your work and manage, there are so many things outside of your control of life, but you know what? The one thing that I can control that controls the sobriety that I need, and that's my character. And if I'm focused on the healthy character, when I'm thinking about love, and when I'm thinking about joy, and when I'm thinking about long-suffering, and goodness, and kindness, those type of things don't need a substance to make me feel good, because the character inside of me is driving how I feel. But somehow when I slip over to the left side of my thinking, and all of a sudden I'm envious, and I have fits of rage, and I'm sowing discord, and I'm jealous of things, internally it doesn't feel right. The reason it doesn't feel right, this is intended design that comes from heaven is out of whack inside of us. And so we say to ourselves, or I'll say this, what I say to myself is I need to numb that negative feeling. I need to escape that negative thinking. I need to somehow feel like I'm in my intended design while all along being okay living in this natural position that is broken. And so we watch TV and we buy stuff. And we run and play all the time. And we always have the next hobby. And you're remodeling your house again to stay busy. Because somehow in busyness, somehow in sedation, somehow in all these other tasks, I don't even know, just all these other things that we try, nothing moves us to the right side like focusing on the character that we are and that we have. And what if, just what if, I know some of you, like theologically, you're running through your brain right now, but what if the only thing that we actually take to the eternal with us is the character that we've developed here on earth? The fruits of the Spirit that God has had us focused on. And what if those are the things that God says, okay, now it's time to fully grow and mature? Who wants to show up there with hatred? Who wants to show us up with this? And here's another question for you. Have you ever, if you just look at the left side characteristics that I have up there now, or any negative thing that you can think of, have you ever had an interaction with someone who was living on that left side, and when you got done with that interaction, you felt good about yourself? Is there anything on that left side that if you would say, if this would permeate our culture, our society would be better if we had this thing at a better... Let's go with fits of rage. At some point, it changes from peaceful protests to just fits of rage. And how many look at the fits of rage and say, no, it's healthy that we're burning down buildings, throwing rocks through windows, and destroying cop cars? No, this shifted. No one wants that in their culture. And so if you don't want it in your culture, how do you make it not in your culture? You can only do the thing that only you can do, and that is focus on your character. So this week, next week, and the following week, it's all one big discussion, and it ultimately boils down to this. Where is your character? What is that sixth sense that you are currently focusing on in your life? Because we all have left side characteristics that we need to shift towards right side living. We have natural things that we've been to, and by the way, here's how you... You ready for this? Here's how you judge how your character is. Think about when you were at your worst because of the most pressure that was on you. Did a right side character come out, or did a left side natural bent blow up? Our character is being pressed on, is being worked on, being molded all day long, but are we intentional about living on this right hand side? And so the doorway between your right and your left is a double hinge, one with gratitude, the other one with resentment. And those will be the markers. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to tell you about disciplines that I have in my life to this day. Three times a day, Monday through Sunday, I have an alarm that goes off. They're scheduled at all different times just to do a character check. Am I currently? It's just it's amazing how many times it goes off and you just got done. Okay, God, did you change the time on that one, or did I set that ahead of time? But it's amazing when you intentionally say, no, I need to live on that right-hand side through gratitude. At all times and all places, you can find gratitude in your life. And I know you may not believe that, and you may not understand that right now. But I can tell you this, that a place that I was sitting, that I still go to on a regular basis, I'll leave it like that because I never want to forget where I had to go in order to find my freedom. But because of the journey that I took and the days that I spent and the time away from family, and four times watching my kids drive down the road leaving me, and one of the boys' head always in the back, never wanting to experience that again. I keep those memories close to me because they push me to the right side of me. Do I fail? Yes. Do I fall short? Yes. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Welcome to Navigation Church. But what if we all intentionally started trying to live with our intended design that God originally formed and fashioned us all the way back in Genesis? What does the world look like if we're all here living on the right-hand side? So there is no close to today's sermon. It's to be continued. Next week, we're going to talk about resentment does. A little bit of review. But I also want to get a document in your hand. Those watching us online, it'll be available for you to download through the app. Normal resources as always. But I want to encourage you to really consider not missing. And by the way, I'm keenly aware that next Sunday is July 4th. I know that. But we're still going to be open. You might not have known that. But if you can't join us live, I want to encourage you to watch us online, follow up with it later. Because this is just one of those things that I believe not only has it changed my life, it will continue to grow my life into the spiritual man that God has called me to. And so, God, I just thank you for the opening thought today. So used to having a big close and an altar call, even giving the people an opportunity to know you as their Lord and Savior. But today, God, I just feel like we're at a pause moment. And in this pause moment, God, may we come face to face with the characteristics that we always go to. May we have an honest discussion with ourselves of, is this what you created us for? Is this what brokenness has drove us towards? And Lord, none of us desire to live in our brokenness, but in the fullness of what you've created us to be. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for the opportunity that I have. I'm actually grateful for the journey that I went on in order to discover the truths that I have found. And I pray this day that other people may benefit from that. And that when in a month from now, 6 months from now, we ask questions like, is that your right side or left side? There will be ongoing understanding as well as convictions that we work on these sixth sense so that as we enter into a fourth dimension, even there we give you glory, God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my earth, in my body, in my mind, in my mouth, in my character, as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. For those watching us online, I'm grateful that you're joining us this week. I do want to encourage you, if you're able to, come out next week as we have live worship. You might be missing that. You just don't know it yet. Also, on an app, I want to remind you that some of these right side character things that we're talking about today, it is available to download through the app. Make sure to download it to your device. But now, here's just a couple announcements for you. Amen. I just have a couple quick things to say. The first is I'm very honored today. This gentleman would not want me to do that. Now that we're offline, I am going to take a second to. He's not going to be thrilled with me doing this, but I can't. I cannot not at that point. Pretty sure that's an incorrect sentence. The gentleman that sat across from the table from me is sitting here today. And Ken from... From me in a very grateful church, I just want to honor you today, sir. And so he's not going to like it. I am going to ask him to wave real quick. So that's Ken. I'm going to honor you today. Ken, I'm going to put you to work. If you would like to know more about the Simple Plan, Ken and I have talked quite a few times to actually start a weekly meeting here at the church. My big problem is because of my kids, I should say more than that, is having a regular schedule. But if you're here today and anything I said to you, if you just tell someone, hey, all you have to do is stop drinking. I promise you, there has to be a certain understanding that comes along with it. If you go, well, we need them to hit rock bottom. You will never hit rock bottom as long as there's a shovel in your hand. And so it takes more than that. There's an understanding. And if you're here today, and I got my friends right behind them, they'll stick around, Ken, for a minute and help. If you would just like to know more about the program, I'm going to invite you just to come over and introduce yourself to Ken, and Brian will help me get notes of anyone who would want that. And if Simple Plan may be something good for you, we want to get that started here sooner than later. But I promise you, it's not just you trying to stop drinking. It's you building the character that you need to keep you from drinking. And this works for weed, heroin, you name it. It's character building, and you can find freedom from all of it. But Ken, I really am happy you're here today. So thank you, sir. As we